Second?
I'll second and stand.
No, that's okay. I'm just.
Brian, Dion, Paki.
Did you get that?
Richard and Karen.
Well, he's got to make some changes.
So we'll just wait now till you guys are ready.
Well, you got to vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Where's Ed? We're just missing the famous Mr. Eddie.
Who am I missing?
Ed Cook's supposed to be here.
Oh, he's at the games. He's watching it.
Yeah. Well, that would wait, but we'll do this first. Let me tell you what we need to do.
Yep.
What you need to do, we have some corrections. The table of contents, the board can take the old one out and throw it out. We give you a new table of contents. Then if you go to section one, that has overview, framework, there are three pages. You take those three pages out. And we have the next three pages. So you're taking three pages. The people in the front have corrected books. They got theirs ahead of time, so we didn't get a chance to change them.
All three pages?
Yes, all three pages.
I just want to put my amendment. I don't know, I said I didn't think that we needed it.
Everybody with me? The next one, if you go to section 10, you're going to skip over K5, 6-8, remove the next steps, 9-12, and insert the new 9-12.
Section 10, steps 8.
Yep. So you just throw out the old 9-12, put in the new one. And then for those of you that are ahead, you go to section 11. The documents that I gave you, just put right on the top of section 11. It's new. It's a new insert.
Goes in the front of section 11?
Yeah, it goes in the front. It goes on top of program evaluation.
Goes on top of that?
Yeah, it goes on top of it.
Section 12?
Section 11.
Section 11?
It's the top of section 11.
All right. Write this down. Put this in.
Yes.
Okay.
You're up.
I guess I'd like to start by introducing part of the curriculum council. If you want to start on either end and state your name and what you do on the council, please.
I'm the Michelle Math Department Chairperson.
I'm Gary
Lambert,
the Educational Technology Board here.
John Chapman, Social Studies Department Chair.
Scott Kutera, English Department Chair.
Allison Brown, Science Department Chair.
Kathy Johnston, Foreign Language Department Chair.
I'm Mike Mistoriak, I'm the Fine Arts Department Chair.
And Family, Consumer, Science, Health, and Physical Education is Ed Cook, who hopefully will be joining us. What we wanted to do this evening is go through kind of an introductory approach to the notebook that we gave you ahead of time. Basically, just kind of skimming through the chapters, and if the board has any specific questions or issues they want to raise or discussions, we can talk about it. I just wanted to give a little background in the beginning in the chapter one, that the areas that have been identified took us a good 3 years to work on these. And part of the issue is that we had to identify what we agreed that would be considered the core, additional, and other areas. And we decided as a district that we grouped them in this format, core basically being the English ELA, reading, writing, spelling, and cursive, the French and Spanish, which is languages other than English, math, science, and social studies. Then we had other categories of additional and other, and you can look through those later on. Also, we gave you a little background about what we did for our current state and how we identified our software and textbooks and required reading and supplemental reading, and that the status reports had certain aspects in it. We also talked a little bit about, as a group, where the status reports, now that we had them developed, that we're going to look at different areas within the status reports, the instructional focus. We speak a little bit about differentiated instruction and assessments and how we're going to deal with some of those issues in instruction. We also talked about evaluating instructional programs and that we need to benchmark and baseline student performance, and that other areas that we need to look at have to do with assessments, grading, rubrics, and homework. We also spoke about quarterly reviews and identified information that we would like to have documented on a quarterly basis. Again, this is not totally done at this point in time. These are things that we've been working on. The hard part with some of this is that in most cases, the documents in here did not exist, so we had to make up the documents. We had to clarify what we were speaking about. We had to make sure we understood our terminology, and that's what took a while to put this all together. Any questions in that first section about the intent and what we tried to do, or if anybody else on the council would like to mention something about our past couple of years? The next part about instruction drives the budget was already given to you, and we made a presentation. This is put in here just for instructional purposes, so you just have that. And has some data in here that shows the differences of fourth and eighth grade ELA and how we came up with our assessments and what we looked at for developing our current state to our desired state. With that, I want to move to Section 2. Section 2 basically just identifies the chairs. And in the Curriculum Council, we met every Thursday, approximately from 2:30 to 4:30 as a minimum. Sometimes we stayed a lot later. Sometimes we got done a little bit earlier. I also want to point out that the Curriculum Council, as the curriculum chairs have changed functions based on what they used to do. As a curriculum chair, they are responsible for kind of the day-to-day instructional issues that have to do with 6 through 12, as a traditional department chair would do in a school. They're also teachers, and they teach. In between, when they're not teaching, and they're not functioning as a regular department chair, which has a lot to do with the state assessments and regular assessments and all those things that they do for helping to order books and budgets and all those things, we deal as a council. And the council is the K through 12 perspective, and that's when we do that kind of after hours. And so they're doing three things at one time. And so with that, that's why this group is designated this way, that we call them, this group, the council, even though they have specific functions that they may talk directly to the high school principal or middle school principal about issues related directly to instruction. As an example, when you looked at our eighth grade scores, where we have some issues in ELA from fourth grade to eighth grade, those are some areas that the department chairs would speak directly with the administrator or teachers about that are subject specific and also relevant to be a chair. Anybody else want to add anything about chair function or council? We okay? All right. Anytime anybody on the board wants me to clarify, let me know. What we also put in here in Section 3 is we defined what's in our status reports. So everybody, again, we understood and staff understands what we're speaking about local assessments and state assessments. When you look through some of the status reports, you may see that there's not a pacing chart or scope and sequence. Those are areas, again, we only identified the current state. In some cases, the current state is not acceptable and needs to be changed. But at least we have it down in writing, and you can see where we are at this point in time. And that was the hardest thing, is to gather all that information that's been in everybody's head. It's been in little notebooks. It's been in bits and pieces throughout the district, but it's never been put in one place. And that's what we made it a point to get this done.
It's also difficult to come up with a consensus in terms of what's the definition of length of study, what's the definition of assessments for the local. Not necessarily what are they, but what is it that we want to include here. So that took a lot of discussion and hashing it out, and because of some of the department chairs have changed over the last 2 or 3 years, not only getting the new department chairs up to speed, but getting a different perspective about what we had thought the definition was, and then when someone new would come on, they would give us a slightly different look at it, and we'd go, oh, we didn't think of that. Maybe we need to regroup and not necessarily start all over, but redefine what we wanted to include and what we didn't think was necessary. So that took a lot of work.
So part of the intent of this, that on the agenda, It says we're going to review the documents listed, and the review of the documents, we're just going to go over them to make sure you understand them, because I would say 98% of these you already approved as textbooks in a course of study for the district. We've updated it and corrected it for one last time. We found some, what do you want to call them?
Discrepancies,
that's a good way to put it, that we needed to correct, so we're all on the same page. And that kind of the bottom line is that if a department chair, board member, principal, or teacher walks into a classroom, what's on, these are the things that are being used for textbooks and all of that. If it's not on here, it shouldn't be done. That's what we're looking at. And again, part of the intent is for program evaluation that the board, by law, reviews all textbooks on a five-year cycle. In order to review textbooks, you have to look at instructional programs. So this is set up that it's a combined thing. It's integrated. You always look at instruction and if there are any books or materials that go along with it. Okay, with that said, the next section goes into the status reports. And again, that the board has reviewed these, but just looking at, let's say art is the first one, intermediate 6 through 8, it just tells you if it's there. So using that as an example, art 7 is quarterly. There are local assessments, but as a lab or project, there is a scope and sequence. There is no pacing chart. There are no textbooks being used. There's no AIS offered, and there's no optional credit. Now, we're not saying that's good, but we're saying it's a point in time, and we need to address those. And now people can start to ask the questions, well, why not? And what are you going to do to change it? And this is the starting point. So as you look through these, this was the hardest part, to agree for the format, to make sure that it was clear. So as you look like at English, it lists, again, in the elementary ends, English 6, 7, 8, drama, public speaking, and reading. These documents also correspond to what's offered in the course selection sheets in the middle school and the high school. Again, if it's not on here, technically it shouldn't be offered. So as a board member, without having to go to the website or look through all the course selection sheets, you can say, these are the things that are offered in the middle school and the high school. So it's interesting when you start to look at it. And I think we learned a lot by putting it all together. So as we go through, and it's just flipping through, as an example, I'm stopping on LOT, which is languages other than English. It's in 6 through 8. You can see that, again, the courses that we offer, pacing charts and scope and sequence, some areas do have more information that's readily available. We also spoke about later on that if we wanted to continue with language and do more to enhance it, you might want to look at offering it in the elementary building at some point in time. But at least now you can see what's going on in the middle school and in the high school. But it depends on what you want to look at long term. So we can just...
Your question?
Go ahead.
Don't we have something in the elementary now with other than English? We have any programs at all? Not formally?
There are certain teachers that, you know, have strengths in a certain language and will incorporate
so
in their...
they're kind of doing it... but nothing organized?
Nothing organized.
But if you want to see consistent growth and see performance get better with students, that's part of what we're looking at, to have that approach, that it's not the luck of the draw who you get as a teacher. It should be regardless of what school and who you have, the instructional programs are the same. And that's what we've been looking at. So you can just flip through all of this as the 6 through 8 group. And again, we did not put classes or areas that aren't there. Like there are no real business courses in the middle school, therefore you won't see a section on business. The next section, if I could point to secondary, just going through the book. It starts out again with art, and it's just in alphabetical order. I want to skip art. It's just after the elementary. It's still in chapter 3, or section 3.
Provided by a green paper.
Yep.
Right after
the I'm color challenged.
It's green right there.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
So I want to skip through business, driver ed, and we'll go to English, since Scott is here. And as an example, you can see what's offered, and it's set up now by course and subject, because in some cases, English 9 is just one thing, and then we also have creative writing, drama, journalism, women's studies. Now, it doesn't mean that every one of these courses are offered right now, but they are available to students as they sign up, and they've been in the course selection sheet. And it's kind of...
Well, it depends if they fill or not.
Correct. But we've identified everything that currently exists and is offered to students, regardless if students are sitting in it. Because what we wanted to look at, as an example for women's studies, it's offered for a semester. Doesn't really have any midterm or final, but it has some type of a project. There's no state requirement. There's no pacing chart. There is a scope and sequence, no textbook, and nothing else. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's real easy to jump out and see where there are certain areas you might want to look at that.
What is a pacing chart?
Excuse me?
What is a pacing chart?
The pacing chart that we described back, and we gave you a definition. It's in the beginning of Chapter 3.
Okay.
We defined the pacing chart. Let me just get the right word here. The amount of time indicated to study on each topic, how long it's going to take to go through it. So within that 10-week or half-semester course, you're supposed to be at a certain place at a certain point in time in order to be successful by the end of that quarter or that semester. So it just paces out the time frame.
And that information is not generally available through state ed. They give us performance indicators, and then we break it down as a group to try to find out how much time, as professionals, we believe should be spent on such and such a topic. It's very easy to do in mathematics because it's so concrete. But depending upon the group you have, it's not carved in stone. You might spend extra time on this. But it gives us a general idea, especially for newer teachers coming in. We can give them a guideline to help them pace themselves and pace the students.
So student ability was factored into?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it changes from year to year as well, depending upon the group that you have.
Right.
Then if you just flip through a couple more, I'm up to music, since we have different people here. And it lists band and chorus, music in our lives, and music theory, which is not a lot to offer in a high school, in my opinion. When you look at that also, you can see that, again, officially, we do not have pacing chart, scope and sequence, textbooks. They don't normally use textbooks because they use music. But then again, in music in our lives or theory, there could be. One of the things that Mike and I, we've had some conversations about, they do have a sequential approach of teaching music, but it's not uniform K through 12. And that's one of the things that they need to work on and put together, just like everybody else has to do. It doesn't matter if you're not in the core. Each area from health to phys ed to foreign language still needs all those sequential things put together for improvement of instruction for kids. I'm not going to go through the rest of these, but if you flip a little to science, you can see it just gives you a different indicator of the types of things that are available. In science, you see a lot of pacing charts, scope, and sequence. And look, we left sequence off somehow. Wait till Mrs. Menard sees that. You see it says scope and? Yeah, don't tell her. I know. We won't give the board a new page. It's not that, unless you want one.
No.
It's not that important. Yeah. But you can also see for optional credit that in the area of science, we have an honors challenge. We have some regular honors. We have the CAP courses, which are through the community college. And we have one area that's AP. And Mr. Levine's asked a couple times about AIS. You can see where AIS is officially offered. Not that it is available in all classrooms, and it is available through teachers, but there's a specific approach identified in that strand at that point in time. So that was kind of neat putting this together, but it took a lot of heated discussions about what should or shouldn't be in here, and defining, even Steve, what you said, like what a pacing chart really is, to make sure we are all saying it the same way, because they had to go back and talk to their colleagues and bring back information.
And changing. So some of the things that are included, there's honors challenges. One of the questions might be, well, how come it's not offered here, but it is offered here? Because we're phasing it in little by little, and next year there'll be honors challenges instead of honors courses in a lot of these things. So it may look like there's no honors challenge here, but this, we had to kind of take a snapshot in time to indicate where we were right now. Some of these things are obviously been changing from year to year, from month to month sometimes.
With that, what are you calling the courses that are college credited?
It depends upon where the college credit is being awarded. There are two kinds of college credit being allowed. Mm-hmm. CAP credit, which is through the local Clint Community College, and AP credit, which is a national accreditation, and that's determined by a score on a national exam. So there's college credit in two different ways. And some of our courses offer both types of credit.
So in other words, you could take the course and get a CAP and take the AP.
Exactly correct. That's correct. Yes, you could.
And get local credit for your diploma.
Local credit would probably class for state, but community
local
record.
Credit here.
No, get for your high school diploma.
Here's
plus,
yeah.
Community college credit.
Which would apply to which would save you some money.
Correct. We have a teacher on staff, a math teacher on staff, as a matter of fact, that earned AP credit and another, I don't believe it was CAP credit, but it was similar to CAP credit because it didn't exist when he was in college. But he told me he received quite a few credits towards college for a minimal fee.
Yeah.
A lot of math credits in that way by doing a lot of high school.
Yeah, the students don't pay the regular fee that somebody would in regular college. So it saves them and the family.
Significant amount of money.
And so depending on how they're working through their courses, there's an opportunity. They could probably take at least 4 to 6 college courses, right,
yeah,
through their career?
They could enter school? College, some of them, theoretically, as a second-year freshman or even sophomore.
And they do.
Half-hat
students do that.
Absolutely. And all that has gone over 9 to 12 credits in the freshman year.
Right. And it's expanding.
Yes.
So the credit technology, is that because we have nothing or was it deleted?
Where?
And under technology, it has nothing.
Because they don't have anything that's formalized.
That hasn't been developed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's a point that needs to be developed because we spend a lot of money on technology. We have the computer labs. There are things, I guess part of it is there are teachers, individual people doing things with technology, but it's not uniform and it's not a K-12 approach. So if the idea, as an example, we had some discussions that if the kids in the middle school learned keyboarding and it was a prerequisite to get out of like the middle school, they all learned it. By the time they got into high school, it would totally change the makeup of the business courses because you wouldn't teach keyboarding anymore. So they'd be more advanced. So they could do a lot more with, let's say, word processing and other, you know, spreadsheets. So it's that total approach that if you move it down into the elementary building where the kids get an exposure to computers, middle school, they actually learn to type without looking at their fingers. That changes what the high school does.
Plus, it's easier to learn to type when you're
young. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
The same thing with foreign language.
I don't
have
a
goal. Just like learning a foreign language or anything else.
Ideally, I'd love to see a foreign language start now.
And there are things that you can look at that are exploratory that it does not necessarily mean it's going to cost additional dollars, but it's different ways to look at it. Go ahead. Kathy, you want to say something?
I mean, you know, Frank was saying how he would like to see that down in the elementary, and that's certainly been a desire, but I think what we have to look at is, you know, coordination with principals and the teacher schedules, because I know that there's a lot that they are doing already and how to fit the foreign language into an actual program. How the delivery mode is really the concern.
Yeah.
You know, a simple thing would be maybe the board could look at hiring teachers who are only have a good, you know, strength in either French or Spanish as a criteria when you're hiring them. That could be an additional thing to look for.
Yeah, dual
certification. Just a simple thing like that. Yeah. But that's something I still want to
look at. One of the new things that just happened within the past 3 years is the exploratory in the middle school, because that didn't exist before. And students, they just went in either they picked French or Spanish, or they had a very short exploratory, they had none.
No, we had none. The kids just, you know, made their decision based on, you know, discussions with family. Sometimes it was certainly what their friends were taking. It wasn't really based on any knowledgeable, experiential time. So this gives them a little bit of both.
And now all students in the middle school get an exposure to French and Spanish and
Absolutely.
Get to pick before they actually get into it. And that's new. And part of that had to do with an issue with scheduling and working with the principal and the teachers to make the schedule fit. The other thing that happened, too, that was different is in music. When I first came here, kids could not be in chorus and band at the same time. They were closed out. And that was basically a simple fix going back just to looking at schedules and a few other things. Now all students could be in chorus or band, and it's not a conflict. That's middle school, high school? Is it also in the elementary?
Yes.
Okay. And those are new. And again, it didn't cost anybody any more money. It was just a reconfiguration of looking at how we currently do things. Part of that came out of the discussions that we've had as a group where we started. There were some blatant things that people said, well, how come you can't do this? And how come, I remember the exploratory, I couldn't believe the kids didn't get an opportunity to pick things. And it works itself out. We have kids still in French and Spanish. We don't have it overloaded, one or the other, right? It's still kind of an equal balance. Yeah, which is kind of neat.
Do we still have the middle school kids going into the elementary for those days?
You're thinking back to when your daughter and your son, I think, actually participated in a program at the end of the year where the foreign language clubs. We used to.
Oh, that was through a club.
That was our club.
Yeah.
In the high school. We developed many curricular, topics and went down and taught in French and in Spanish. We taught the same thing We did, you know, colors, clothes, numbers, songs, culture, and that was just with the clubs going down there.
That made a big impact.
I know, because I remember your kids actually, and now, you know, they went through the high school, so.
And that was because it was a middle school, high school time frame. You would have time to, the school would be over, and you'd be able to still go down to the elementary building. That's how you did it, right?
Right out of school. And it was high school.
The school was still in session. Okay.
But we've also done things in the past where the clubs went to Cumberland Head, and we worked with the celebration where they have the cultural.
Oh, right, the cultural fair.
But they used to have Arts and Humanities. Yeah, thank you. A few years ago. Arts and Humanities, we did a lot back then, really did. That hasn't been of late, but, you know, it certainly is something to be revisited. And we have had requests from the elementary teachers.
Well, I can let you know that was a big impact on
me.
Really big impact.
I'll pass that on to everyone who participated.
Before I switch to the next section, anybody have any other questions? These are what we
call the status reports.
And we only did them 6 through 12. I'm not going to say only. This took forever to do 6 through 12 because elementary is different because it's taught by one teacher, basically, in the core. So we split it up in a different way. So one of the things the board is going to be voting on next month is that to accept these status reports, and that's where we're calling instructional status reports grades 6 through 12 with the date on the bottom. And that's going to basically establish your instructional program at this point in time. And that if anything changes or wants to be added or deleted, it needs to go to the board. It can't be just somebody decides they don't want to do it anymore or they want to just radically do something. They need the board's permission to review the program for educational impact as well as a cost analysis before it's implemented. And that's what this is all leading up to. So you can do your program evaluations on a regular cycle. Okay, no other questions about this. I'd like to switch and go then to Chapter 4 or Section 4. There are two parts in Section 4. I'm going to skip over the first part. We just put in here the ELA adoption, which was already presented to you. We tried to do is put everything in one notebook. So if you want to know what's the current state of instruction in Beekman County, you pull out your notebook. And so every department chair has one, every principal has one, every board member has one, and there's one in the superintendent's office. So with that said, if you skip through that presentation, because we already did this, where it gives you the information about why and what, we're going to go to textbooks elementary that the board approved one time before, but we're asking you to reapprove the cleaned up version because this also has the new textbook adoption in here. When you look at it, you can see some differences that in some buildings, you see they both use the materials. In other cases, only Cumberland Head does or Beekman Town Elementary School does. This is part of the ongoing discussion that the chairs are really 6 through 12. Their focus is K through 12. But now with the building principals basically taking the lead with some of this, they need to work with individual committees within their building besides just ELA to start looking at music and science and math and social studies and all those things that are in here. And as an example, I remember having a conversation with Julie about the math. It says Math Their Way. It's a 1995 book. That could be good or bad. And those are things that people need to look at. When you look at the copyright dates, you want to make sure in science, some of the 1993 things, we need to really look at science. That's too old, in my opinion, to be using now in 2007, 2008. But at least it's written here, and we're going to look at that. They do have some other things as you flip through 2004 and some 1990. Again, no one really realized it before because it was never laid out. So we're asking you to accept it the way it is as a point in time as the current state of affairs. So then we can start to change it, and the changing is going to be your desired state. That's what you want it to be. So I'm not going to go through this, but one of the things that jumped out, John Chapman and I were having a conversation. If you go to Cumberland Head, you get to study Canada by George Sherman, who was a teacher here. That's not that that's a bad thing, but if that's a good thing, then it should be done in both buildings. So it shouldn't be the luck of the draw of the building. So it goes back to that same thing. That's what we need to look at.
You want consistency across.
Yeah. Right. And if it's not consistent, there's a specific reason, and people understand and know that, but then it's usually not something that's adopted by the board. It's just something that usually sometimes pilots could be a little inconsistent because you're trying things out. But once you establish which way you want to go, then everybody does the same. The pilot turns into the real program. Any other questions about elementary? Then I want to flip and go to Section 5, which is the same thing with the high school, and I only want to point out there's two things with this. We sorted this two ways. The first sort, it says in the top, we're in Section 5, middle school, high school by subject. So it's art and business and music, and you can kind of see the way it goes as you flip through it all. And it's 19 pages long, and when you get to the end of the 19 pages, then we're going to ask you to reapprove these. And you go to the next section after the green. This is sorted by grade. So if you want to see it the other way, okay, what are the students allowed to use as textbooks or currently being used by staff by grade level, you can see it that way. It's just interesting when you compare the two. In some cases, there may be way too many things in seventh grade. In other cases, you'll see there's not a lot in each grade. Again, no one knew that because it was never organized and put together in one format before. So I'll give the board, if you have any questions about this, a minute to look through. And again, anybody on the council wants to say anything about the textbooks, because you guys spent a long time on them.
There's one thing. In terms of the textbooks, it may seem redundant in the sort by grade, because there could be courses that our sophomores and juniors are taking, or juniors and seniors, for example, AP Bio. That book, that text is listed by grade 11, and also the same as that book by grade 12. It's intentional just to show that there are some classes that are more than one grade. So if you wonder, well, didn't I just see that? Why is that again? That's why. It's not a mistake.
And one comment about some of the math textbooks. It's interesting that we organized math textbooks and realized how old they were. And every time the curriculum, I think as you're well aware, has changed quite a bit. I started teaching here 22 years ago, and the curriculum, the state ed, has changed the curriculum three times already. Not in terms of what's in there, but how it's organized. So when I first started teaching here, it was course 1, 2, and 3. And it was an integrated approach. We changed to math A and math B, and at that time we decided, you know what? The textbook companies aren't really on board. We're not just going to dump this and go with this new textbook because it's better. What we have will work. We'll just take this part and this part, and it worked very well for us. And now they've changed it once again back to still kind of an integrated approach, but more algebra, geometry, trigonometry. And
like it was when I went through school.
And myself as well. And so we had a look and just wait long enough for it to come back. But through all of that, every time we would do a lot of research, and I did a ton of research on the new textbooks, we discovered that even though they were older books, they were the best ones out there for us to use. We just took parts of really good textbooks we already had and put them together. So I was surprised by how old they were, but then I realized, you know, old isn't necessarily that's bad.
But
that's
really a change, right? It's not like
well,
math
does
not. I'm talking about textbooks.
Math.
Oh, never mind.
But yeah, it was interesting because we're starting to look at other textbooks once again, and there really are some more significant differences in terms of some newer textbooks. But I was surprised to see that some of them were quite old, but they were still the best out there.
In some conversations I had with Ed under, not that you have to look, I'll just mention to you, Home and Careers, we have Guide to Modern Meals, and it's 1985. We also have Interior Design Fundamentals, 1983. I think things have changed a little bit there. So in that case, those are things that we really need to look at and address.
That's what's so interesting about the status reports, and even the textbooks. It gave us a place to start, so that when we start doing program evaluation, beginning next year with official presentations and things of that nature, it gives us a place to start so that we can say, okay, where do we have to look? I mean, I knew that there was a pacing chart for these four areas, but I didn't know if there was one here. I now know there is, but there's something else where there isn't, and I think maybe there should be. So those are the places that we start. It gives us a starting place. Things that we knew were going on in our head, or like Dr. Suzano said, in a notebook here, and there was another notebook over here, because Buzz Thompson had it, and it ended up in a file cabinet someplace that I never got hands on. So we were able to organize it all, and it took an ungodly amount of time. I don't know how many times we walked out of there just exhausted from trying to figure things out, and once we thought we had things figured out, 2 weeks later we realized we don't have this figured out yet. So it was really a very frustrating process, but it's giving us a place to start.
And the only way they can get the information is go back and talk to all the teachers that they interact with, because it was a discussion of what do you use, how long do you use it. And at first, I think some staff thought it was kind of an intrusive issue.
Yeah.
And why are we doing this? And we're not saying you can't use it. We just want to know what you're using, and we can put it all down.
So. And going back to teachers who taught it before, who may not teach it now, what did you used to use, and how did it work, and what have you shared? So it was a lot of conversation back and forth within departments.
That algebra geometry track, that starts September, correct?
We're doing the algebra right now.
So
it has to be started. Algebra must, in classroom statewide, be introduced next year.
In September?
In September. We had an opportunity to start it a year early to try to... we did a summer curriculum project last year. Patty Landry and Maureen Fergassi and myself, all the ninth grade teachers, including the eighth grade accelerated teacher, Patty Landry, worked on it because we wanted to try it. We wanted to see how much is in there, what's so different, and to also not only expose the kids to more earlier, which we thought was a good idea since they had already started the K through 8 the year before, let's just keep going and bring them up further, but it also gave us an opportunity to teach things that we hadn't taught in a long time or perhaps had never taught before. It gave us a chance to work out some of our own kinks before the official Regents exam came online next June, not this June, but next June. So it was really twofold why we wanted to start it early.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll be doing the same thing next year. Geometry we'll introduce next year, even though it's not required to the year afterwards, to give all of the teachers and the students just keep going.
Right.
If you start, if you give them a new curriculum in eighth grade, why would you stop and say, well, let's just backtrack? Because we don't have to do it till the next year anyway. You're holding them back. And that's not right.
A chance to get all the bumps out, too. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions about Section 5?
I have one quick comment. Mm-hmm. That book about the cooking,
mm-hmm.
I can see why you would go back then, because today cooking is microwave, heat it up and eat it.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
true.
To get back to the basics of actually cooking, you've got to go back a ways.
Oh, I have a good question. One of you said that some books use more than 1 year. If you're just going deeper into the book, I would assume. Because, like, when we had books, we went so far, and that was it. And then
I think there might have been a miscommunication. What I was trying to say was there are some courses where there are juniors and seniors taking the course simultaneously. So it's listed as a junior textbook, and it's also listed as a senior level textbook.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, we can move to Section 6. This one we had an interesting discussion over. It took a long time.
Because these are all mixed up in textbooks.
So what this one document required reading middle school, high school, we agreed at this point in time, these are the only books that the students are guaranteed to get that everybody's going to read before they get out of here. And one of the things that was discussed is this really needs to be addressed because it's a short list. So when we only have two required readings in ninth grade, and they happen to be Shakespeare. The rest of it is depending on who you get as a teacher. And that's the next section, which is called the supplemental reading. And there are a lot of really neat books in there that we've had some discussions that should be required. So one of the things that the chairs have to look at is what you want to say as a community and as a school district, what are the fundamental books that you think are important that all our children are going to read before they get out of high school, starting in the middle school and working their way up. And it doesn't matter who you get as a teacher. And it was kind of interesting that we thought this list was bigger, and
two?
It's not. Looking on the page, just two documents. That's it.
No Charles Dickens or.
In eighth grade
then
has one.
Then every child will be exposed.
Every child.
Not required.
Not
right.
Every single student who graduates will necessarily.
So we seem to be a little Shakespeare heavy, which is not bad, but there are other things that probably you want your students to be exposed to. And that's one of the challenges because I know that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Just creating this small list, you think it would be a simple thing, but if you have three teachers teaching at a grade level, getting three teachers to sit and talk and agree on
what's
your list. This list was just created this year. This has never existed. There was never a A kid who graduates from Beaventown has read, guaranteed you have
read so many books.
So this is, it doesn't seem like a long list, but it did take a lot of consultation and discussion, especially at grade level. And then there were some books that, well, why would that be a sixth grade book? Because I think it's a better eighth grade book. So then we got between grade levels as well. So although it seems, this is a first time thing and it is a developing, you'll have to.
It'll expand, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, but if you look at a supplemental list, it's huge. Yeah. The supplemental list is huge.
Yeah, if you flip to the next, after the green, you can see a little, and then if you want to comment a little on the supplemental list, that is 10 pages long. And there are a lot of really good books in there, too.
Yeah. What happens is, you know, when teachers start discussing what they do, you get a teacher's like, oh, I love it. I'm not getting on this book. I love this book. I've been doing it forever. But maybe the other two teachers are like, no, I'm not there. I don't want to. I like this book. So as long as where we started was, if we can get a couple books at each grade level that we know every kid's going to get, then you can keep doing the ones that you like.
Yeah.
And what your where your talents are. So there was some give and take and some compromise because English teachers are very holistic, very attached to their literature.
But don't other schools have like required reading? I can remember when I was in high school, I had required reading. In fact, I was just talking to a girl who teaches in New Jersey, and she was reading a book over vacation was because it was required reading for students, and she hadn't read it yet. And so she was reading it herself. She was a new teacher.
What I found doing research in that is I found a lot of summer reading lists, and I found a lot of reading lists for advanced students. I did not find a lot of common, just general reading lists at a school district. So I'm sure they exist, but I didn't see a lot when I was doing research. I saw a ton of summer reading lists. And a lot of private schools, if you Google it and start researching it, it's a lot of private schools. This is your required summer reading for the fall. Mm-hmm. Or you see advanced courses where you see required reading lists. But I did not come across a lot of schools that said 6 or 12, here are the books that people read.
More in case it wasn't required.
No.
Yeah, that was from 6 through 12.
Does the Freshman Academy do anything like that? I know, some colleges, every incoming freshman has to read this one book just to bond them together. Then they have discussion groups. Would that be a value to have something that bonds an incoming class together?
No. As a freshman experience? Teacher, I think the Freshman Academy is more of a transition program to help our kids transition from middle school to high school. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've gotten that far with that yet.
It just helped bonding them together as a cohesive group with a shared experience.
It's difficult. I'm having a hard time bonding them together. No.
I think the last thing that's going to bond ninth graders together is going to be a book.
Yeah.
But the expert.
Well, we're trying different things to maybe help them bond as a group together.
Yes.
There's a lot of programs for the Freshman Academy in the first, almost the first month of school to help that transition. Mm-hmm. Included is the peer, are the peer connectors, but also I know English and Social Studies, they do their first unit is designed to help them. They got J.W. Wiley come in at university. They showed that that video made by
a former graduate
about dropping out. Okay. And
that's fine. I didn't mean to get a sub discussion going. I take my question back. Great area for further discussion.
Yeah. Anything else, Scott, you want to add? And you didn't get too beat up either, right?
Does it seem like kids read less now?
What's that?
Does it seem like the kids read less? Because when I was in high school, I read a lot of these by sixth grade.
Do you remember when we went over, when we did the, Sukura did the literacy project in middle school, and I gave you the statistic that kids don't have role models for reading because most adults do most of the reading in the bathroom. That was the statistic. there's not a lot of role models that are involved. You know, I think kids do read less for pleasure.
I just want to bring something up, too. One of the things that we never really even spoke about, but your comment brings it to mind, is there's a lot of reading that occurs in the classroom and in the labs that use online resources that aren't even figured into these. It might be a citation from a website, or it might be a synopsis of a book, or other areas that would be impossible to include in something like this. So there are some areas that you wouldn't even see reflected that are covered in other areas too. Just to bring that up.
When I was in high school, you know, we didn't use computers like they use them now, but they had a list of recommended reading if you wanted to read way back early. So they had all these books that, you know, if you want to really look, they had the list. So, you know, something you're probably going to see later anyway, so if you want to look at it, you could. But it's nice that we're getting it down on paper that they can actually, you can see.
Xbox
yeah.
exist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of those other things that they're really into now didn't exist for us.
Wouldn't it be neat if the board some year could really afford to send a little book to every child that is born in our district as a gift, you know, to promote that reading moment? You know, mm-hmm. Good Night Moon, something small, something sweet. There are probably some kids who never even get a book like that until they're closer to entering school. But to have a book given to a child who's born in our district, you know, to encourage
that would be pretty easy to do, too.
That is where it starts.
So also by having this list, if a parent challenges a book where occasionally you see in the newspaper that happens around the nation where somebody says, I don't think it's okay for a kid to read that, it should be something that the board has approved. And so the next time if there are different materials that want to be introduced that could be, say, controversial, that needs to go through the curriculum council, it goes to the board for approval and gets added to the list. Because if somebody says, you're not going to use that book, you do if it's approved. So some of the supplemental readings, again, also. Now, it still doesn't say that a person can't go out and take, like, a current novel or something to that and deal with that in the class. But we're talking about more for long-term instructional purposes. And that's something that they're going to have more discussions that we're not saying that a staff member can't use something else to supplement what they're doing, but this is considered as part of your core instructional program. So there may be other things that a person may try or use, but if they're going to use them on a regular basis and they want to be consistent with the kids, when we spoke about like the workbooks or the Regents books or those things, the exams, the review books, then that ends up being part of what should be done, and then we pay for that. And not necessarily the kids going out and just getting in the borders. So enough about the reading section then.
Yeah.
We can move on to software. Software section 7. It's sorted by subject and grade. This is different also. This took Gary a little doing. And again, having conversations, we're saying that if the way it works, if somebody wants to purchase software or try some things out, there's the issue. We'll talk a little bit about pilots later. But right now, they go through the proper channels. We accept that this is something that needs to be done. Then technically, there'll be a presentation to the board. The board adopts it as part of what we're doing, and then it goes into the document. But right now, this is your current state of software from administrative to grade. That's why it's by subject, if you just flip through. Diagnostic is used for different people in a clinical setting. But if you want to see what do we use for geography, the types of things that are available at this point in time. So I should just flip through it. Then when you get to that other section, because there are 18 pages of the one, the other sort is just by grade level, if I remember correctly. Yes, this is subject. So you can see all the software that's used in kindergarten or grade 1. And they're just unique to that grade. Then there are some things that are used like K1 and K2. So you just want to take a minute and zip through it. Gary, have something or anything you want to add about this? I know this was a trick to do that.
How many last calls we had on this list? We would send out, I had my lab assistants scouring their labs, talking to teachers in their buildings, talking to the social workers, the psychologists. Everybody in this district uses software in one way or the other, from transportation to administrative to finance. There's nothing that we do in this district that doesn't use it. And it's amazing how many people would come up with something new after we thought we were done and say, oh, I forgot to include X, Y, or Z. But it really gave us a pretty interesting list because a lot of the software can accumulate over a long period of time and used by specific individuals. And we might not have even known that this teacher had requisitioned this software 6 years ago and we have it in the district and can make it available to other people. So it was an eye-opener.
Sometimes it's just so ingrained in what we do every day that we don't think about it. We go, oh, by the way, Gary, I forgot to tell you. This is what we use at ninth grade math level, blah, 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 blah. I pull this up my mind because we just use it all the time. And never think about it.
some of the other benefits that came out of this after discussions, I use social studies as an example. One of the pieces of software that they wanted to use for mapping, they saw a purpose for it in the high school that when we examine it and look at it as what the software does, we saw applications in the elementary that they might not have thought of when they purchased it, but that other teachers could benefit from knowing that it exists. So this kind of this benefits all teachers and students and not just the ones that happen to be using it at that moment. Also saves us money too, the last point to make, because people aren't reinventing the wheel trying to purchase something that we already have in use that's been adopted by the board, then we can say we already have that and this is our standard for the district. So.
Any questions? Move to section 8, which says GED and life skills. The board is aware that we also have GED courses for students that come here. This is a list of the materials that are currently being used. It is what it is, kind of an approach. It was just a collection. Towards the end, there's some things that we call life skills. We had some discussion about that because I'm not sure what that means. I mean, we do and we don't. But if it's supposed to be used in special ed, and special ed is supposed to be regular ed modified to meet the needs of the students, then some of these materials should be available for anybody. So as an example, I'm looking at skills for living. That may be relevant for anybody at that ability level at that point in time, regardless of their designation. So that's something that we need to look at, because we don't have a life skills curriculum. We don't have a life skills program, but we have materials that have been set aside for life skills purposes, and that's a discussion that needs to be had later on, because we didn't start that one. We just identified it. Because in most cases, you don't see, there are no other materials for life skills except these, and all the textbooks and all the software, everything we did. These were isolated as something different, and we just left it at that point in time just to say that's what's been put together. Anybody from the committee want to add anything about that? Okay, if I can move to pilots, section 9. This is a point in time with a gray line through it. That means we're not doing the pilot. You can see that math, science, social studies, technology. I don't know why social studies is listed twice with tech in between it. They're currently being tried out in classrooms. And part of the idea would be that they did a needs assessment. They're looking at what they're currently using. They want to try some things out. These normally would be discussed with the curriculum council prior to implementation as a pilot. If they want to continue these things after they've tried them out, a formal presentation needs to come to the board to say they want this to be part of the curriculum. They give you a cost analysis if there's a cost associated with purchasing books. Because as an example, if you're going to buy all new math textbooks, and let's say that's what that would mean as an example, for grades 6 through 10, and you needed to do them all in 1 year, you would need to budget for that. So if you adopt them and you accept them, you need to keep that in mind.
Part of the reason that we're trying this is because with the change in the math curriculum, the textbooks companies, they all like to jump the gun and say, oh, we have this great textbook for integrated algebra for you. We get a preview copy, and it looks like they took two of the old ones and pasted them together. And we're not going to spend $50,000 on this. This is not. So it takes them a few years to play catch-up so that there's something really good out there that's worth the money. So a lot of times what we try to do is use what we have existing. And when we find these small little workbooks or things that are just outstanding, it can help us fill the gaps until the textbook companies catch up. We know what we have to do. We just need to fill it, to plug the gaps, so to speak. So that's what we use this for sometimes until we have something better out there. Help us, so that sometimes that's the purpose.
John or Allison, you want to add anything about your pilots? Or?
The pilot in science, reviewing science, is a course that is taught in a self-contained classroom at the high school level, and the students are at grade level 7-8. They are receiving the instruction that a regular ed 7-8 grade middle school science student would receive. And we are working toward that population of students applying for a local diploma, not 9 feet diploma. So that is the direction we're taking in that. The technology pilot is the seventh grade
processing achievement status using the new lab right up here. It's a brand new time trying this for the first time this year, and I think it was popular enough. The students are responding very positively, and my understanding is it will be offered again next year at the seventh grade level. There are a lot of in middle school eighth grade teachers specifically who like to see their eighth graders using the computer to complete some of their labs and their reports, and if they don't have the opportunity to learn some of the basic keyboard skills prior to eighth grade, it's more instructive.
Has that been developed into an actual course?
Marlene,
with elective credit?
It is. At the middle school level, do they receive credit as per se? No, but it is a course. It is graded, and it's on the report card. It is in the lab.
How would you move to get that part of their elective curriculum on the graduation credits?
Well, in terms of middle school, they don't really have the credits.
Oh, that's right. We're in the middle school. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
And all four social studies books that are being piloted, we want to pilot on this list, are because the previous textbook is 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's that's one of the things Program Review kind of pointed out to us, that there's a need for new textbooks. These old textbooks, I mean, obviously there's in all of these courses, there is, it continues to change in terms of history. There's, you know, obviously there's modern history, but AP psychology, there are new ways of at things too. So all four are for an update.
And if these then are going to be used next year's pilots, correct? That the intent is prior to the end of the year, if you want to keep them and have them official, they need to be brought to the board as a request to be put in part of your instructional program. You adopt them, they get added to this list, and then you may also make some recommendations to drop out others that are currently on the list that are too old.
Again, you're talking a budget issue.
Yeah, but in some cases it's not. You're buying the old ones and you're just replacing them with newer ones. It's not always a cost, because you have, I'd say we have pretty good amount of money set aside for textbooks to begin with. We don't see this as a reading adoption where it's a monster thing, all the grades at one time. Little bits and pieces, you should be able to do it based on your current budget for textbook allocations to the building. We don't see this as an added issue.
As an issue.
No, unless it's going to be, like, if you're going to do a radical change of, let's say, mathematics, and you're going
to
change
K-5,
your whole approach, then that's different.
Yeah, because what you're saying is when you need new books, it doesn't matter if you buy the old ones or the new ones.
Correct. Right. So we don't see this, but if you need the board's permission to purchase the new ones, because they're supposed to be reviewed, so you don't end up with 10 or 15 year old books. And so then we keep current, but it's not necessarily a money issue. And we don't see these as being that. It's only like the reading series where it's a big deal. These other ones shouldn't be that much of a problem.
And sometimes it's just a new edition of what you have. So if it's a new edition of something that you've already approved, that, if I'm correcting my wrong, that wouldn't require
board
approval, because we're just in a new edition of something that you've already approved, because it's more up to date, it's more current events for social studies, they're saying.
And sometimes there are textbooks that you're buying over a couple of years that
right.
are phased in. For example, in a foreign language, you might buy a series that you're going to use in 7th and 8th or in 9th and 10th, and you'll have 1 year where you buy for one grade level and then you phase it in the next year, so it doesn't come all at once. So right. some areas phase them in.
Just as a point of clarification, Dr. Spazzato, is it the first section of textbooks in pilot art through technology are this year, and then the bottom two in the social studies are the next year pilots? Is that why they are separated? Is it John's that?
Is that true, John?
That is true.
Okay. So it wasn't that we just put them in the wrong order.
It is correct as
okay.
it is written.
Okay.
The top section is this year, 2006-2007. Correct. And
okay.
The bottom two social studies books are for next year.
So then when you're going to pilot the other ones for one more year, then make a recommendation probably for all four prior to the end of the year.
We're asking tonight.
We're
Are the social studies ones already in the other document?
They're not.
Okay.
They're not. The first two are being piloted this year currently.
Okay.
And the last two we want to pilot next
year. Yeah, which is fine. Okay. So what that would do, like when I look back, and the board doesn't have to do this, at the social studies documents you're approving, economics and psychology are 1998 and 99. So by doing this for next year, kids get exposure to this, then we adopt it officially, then we're going to take the old ones off the list and replace them with this. It's no cost. Same cost, kind of an approach. Right? Anything else with these about pilots? Okay, we're going to go to section 10, next steps, one down here. Next steps, what we identified, this took, like we said, a good 3 years or more.
How long?
For those that have been doing this when we first started. We had this broken down by elementary, middle, and high. The elementary buildings did not establish a current state or status report. Remember, we only did their textbooks.
Right.
So the status reports that you currently have that we're going to approve in next month are 6 through 12. What they need to do is get together, even though they're doing ELA, and they're looking at adopting, introducing their new reading series, that there are other areas in math and science and social studies that need to be looked at, that we can't use some of those materials, that they may be too old, and we need to start putting that status report together so we can look at it if it needs to be changed. In some cases, when the department chairs looked at it from their lens, just specifically as a chair, they know it's like, whoa, I can't believe they're doing that in science or social studies or math in the elementary buildings. And that's what we noticed with the reading to begin with when we started to put this together. And while the principals dealt with their staff dealing specifically with ELA and reading, the department chairs, we kind of looked at the rest of it, but we couldn't do it all because it was just too much to do at one time. So this is a list of the elementary buildings need to establish current states, then they need to do the desired state, where they want to go. That once they figured out, okay, this is what we agree we're currently all doing, now that you have it written down, what do you want to get rid of and what do you want to keep, and then where do you want to go from there? That's what the whole process was all about. And so then down here we also added that they adopted their reading series, and we state again it's for consistency. Also noted that the elementary staff is going to start with curriculum mapping using a specific model as a part of their current and desired status report. As you flip to the middle school, which is the next one, they've already done most of their current state. So they did the core and the additional. And the additional had to do with art and music and phys ed and all those types of things we said before. They're all on the status reports. What they're missing that we haven't looked at, and the board, some board members have asked about this, what are we doing in counseling and library? We wrote down summer school because should we have summer school for remedial or enrichment purposes? And some school districts have that. It's another one of those discussions to look at. And also, if you're looking for a long-term cost analysis, what are we getting for our money from extracurricular activities, field trips, and interscholastic sports? Another area identified is community education. We don't do a lot to help the community, and we don't offer a lot of community ed programs. We do some with driver ed. We do some with the course point reduction program. But it would be neat if we ordered maybe keyboarding or computer classes and utilized our labs more so the community members could come in and sign up for courses. We spoke about that, but that's something that should be looked at for further study later on so we could have more community involvement in the educational process. So we put this down as we want to decide what is our current state, which is basically limited, and then later on, where would you like this to go? And that'd be kind of neat to look at that for later. Question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
On the community, you mean like the adult ed?
Yeah, adult education.
That was, and we had that here before, didn't we? There were
never have I said.
What we've ever offered is the driver ed reduction.
And the point reduction, yeah.
Pretty much.
I remember coming in and taking a course in computers here. Was that an outside?
So.
No, they did it down in the elementary, but that was just something, not an adult ed class. It was just introducing. It was before Sandy and... I think it might even been the one before who left for Shenandoah. Just had it for parents just to get them familiarized with computers. Mm-hmm. It was just something, it wasn't an adult ed course. It was just more for a thing for parents.
Yeah.
It wasn't open to the community. It was basically for the elementary kids in the...
Yeah, we identified that in each area. So that's something you want to look at K through 12. The last section in this... the last document in this section, grades 9 through 12. Again, we did a lot of the current state for status reports for core and additional, but we need to do what we call the other programs. And this also includes alternative education as well as GED and vocational education. Like, how are we doing with that? And how do you know? And it needs to be data-driven, not just that we think it's going okay. And that's what we identified earlier on in some of the documents, the data that we're going to specifically look at to collect to see how the kids are doing. the desired state, again, basically goes back to, now that they have everything identified, what do you really want to do in science, in art, in music? And I know, Mike, you had some conversations and discussions that you basically have your current state, but there are some things you wanted to, if I remember correctly, change and have consistency in the music program. And if you had more consistency in their approach to teaching of instruments, you would have a stronger music program K through 12, right? I mean,
correct. The sky's the limit.
Yeah. And so that's one of the things we're looking at now that students have the opportunity to be able to take the courses. What we're doing with the courses, we wanted to make sure we have consistency. It's like kind of what happened with the reading program. If the kids are being taught to learn notes one way by one teacher, and then in another elementary building taught a different way, then in the middle school they start all over again. By the time they get to the high school, you go, okay, now here we go again. Remember what you were taught? And you have to keep doing it over and over. And that's one of the things that they've been talking about and working on, that they want to have consistency, because they're not hard to do, it's just time consuming. And one of the side topics we had is the curriculum monies that are set aside in the budget that are for the Teachers Association. We've had some conversations about that. If people think about the district K through 12, it'd be nice if we start looking at that summertime where maybe we're looking at building a music curriculum K through 12 and cleaning up some of the language and other things identified in here to build on it, because you need the classroom teachers to help build and do this. It's not by the directors, it's not by the principals, it's kind of an inside out thing. But the people that are dealing with the students are the ones that make the big decisions and provide a lot of the input and guidance and direction. So they would be the ones that would help put this all together with the guidance of the curriculum council as well as the administrators. And so it's not that we can specifically tell people you need to do it. They usually tell us because they're the experts. That's why they're teaching them with the kids. How do we do this to be consistent? And like it was said a little bit about the reading, it gets to be some lively conversations when Scott asked the question about, well, how are we going to all agree upon doing something one way and deciding what that's going to be? So that's where we are with this. So we just documented that all the next steps are down from that perspective. Any other questions about that? If not, we'll go to Section 11. Section 11 is a little tiny print, the first one. It's 10 years worth of data, so if you flip that one and go to the next one, you can see 5 years at a time without going blind. So as an example, let's look at, for next year, what's up that should be brought to the Board of Education. This is our proposed cycle, that before, technically before the budget, science is up K through 5, math 6 through 12, driver ed and phys ed. And the phys ed was supposedly working on their curriculum. We've had discussions about that and where we are and what they're doing. So they should be able to come to the Board of Education and make a presentation and say, okay, here's what we're doing. We like what we have, or we want to change what we're doing, and here's what we want to change and if there's a cost or not. So if you look at math as an example, say I need two charts. When I look at, I can pick on math in 07-08, math is going to show up again in 2012. It's a cycle, and there are 5 years between them. What that would mean as an example, while science is up, and I had a conversation with John Chapman, like for social studies K through 5, well, what that means is John would have some discussions with the elementary people that they need to start looking at this, putting some committees together and reviewing a little bit to identify that status report. So that means next year they can start, it's called a needs assessment, figure out what you want to do. Then they may want to pilot or try some things out or write some curriculum. The bottom line is by the time they come to the board, they figured out what they want to do. Then they give you a report and say, things are okay, and here's why, and I can prove it to you, because they need data to support that. Or you know what, we found out this and we found out that, we want to pilot for another year, or we want to totally change what we're doing. And that's what would come out of that review. And so if there's not a change in textbooks, the board doesn't have to act specifically, but if there's a change in approach, the board needs to be aware of what they're doing instructionally. So that's what this is, that everybody, you need at least 3 years to start to get your act together to figure out what you want to do. And everybody has this, so you can see it out for 10 years. If you follow this, then you're in a cycle. And every year somebody's up and somebody's making a presentation before the board. Ideally, it should be done before budget, because there could be budget implications, but there shouldn't be in most cases. It's more of a program issue. But then if parents say, how do you know we're really doing okay in mathematics 6 through 12? This is going to, there's a formal presentation to the board telling you how we're doing. So you don't look at those scores from fourth grade to eighth grade and say, oh, the longer the kids stay in school, the worse they get in some cases. You're going to know that earlier because we're going to monitor on a regular basis. It's not going to be a surprise.
One of the things that we've also done with this, if you imagine this is a chart where you can just zoom in on one area. If you zoom in
on math 6 through 12 for next year. I have another entire span of 10 to 15 years that allows me to say, this is where I'm doing all of these things. This is what I've done up to now. I've already started the program evaluation 3 years ago as to the needs assessment and all these things because we all knew that we knew it was coming. And so a lot of the things that Dr. Cruzados talked about, I have my own chart that has all the nitty-gritty little details of what I need to do and what I need to look at. And within each of those sections, that has its own little chart. Okay, when I talk about needs assessment, what does that mean? Well, here's the 20 things I need to do for that as well. So there's a lot of work that still exists that's not in here. That's our nitty-gritty work chart that we've already been doing all along.
And a little bit what I mentioned about music, Mike's group is up in 3 years out, starting next year, kind of an approach. And that's the stuff they would need to do. Look at their curriculum, maybe write curriculum, figure out everything, because in the year 2009, 2010, they need to make a formal presentation saying, here's our state of music, we think we're doing okay or we're not okay, and here's why. And that's in all areas, the vocal and instrumental, as well as the regular classrooms. So it gives you a heads up to do this. Any questions about this? This is one of the things that I was asked a long time ago when I first got hired. How can we evaluate programs? It took this long to figure out what we currently have. And it looks pretty easy now that it's all done, but it took, again, you're all smiling too, because it took a lot of interesting and lively debate about what we are or are not doing with students.
I just want to say, as I hope that it doesn't get lost, all this hard work, because I commend all of you on doing, no, I commend you all on hard work. But you know how things get lost in a pile, and that people here, because I won't be on the board to keep it focused, to follow through with what the plan has been. Because you know, in changing hands, that things in that plans get lost. And so, because all the years I've been on the board, I've never seen anything like this, and with all the chairs and whatever work, everybody working together. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. It probably should have happened a long time ago, but, you know, it's happening now, and I think it's great for the ones who are coming up, you know, because I know certain things when my kids went to college, whatever, you know, all different things of when they went, and, you know, they didn't have some of the same things as somebody else, you know, and both kids each had different teachers for different things, like in chemistry or whatever, and they each learned different things. So I think it's great that it's all coming together and everybody will be on the same page. So. And I think it's just wonderful. It's just I just don't want to see it get lost. I just don't want to see it get lost, and I hope that you guys keep the vision.
I don't either, and that's why, regardless of who the new superintendent is going to be, this is, you know, we've got a lot of blood, sweat, and tears on this, and this is something that we're not going to let go.
And that's why we made sure that we got it together and put it together in a notebook. Because, again, there's been lots of questions raised by board members sitting at this table about when are we going to talk about this or that program. There it is. Now needs to be followed. They know that. You know that. So, to me, it's inexcusable if somebody says, well, I didn't know that, because it's there. You should have the expectation, and they should give you information based on this book. So if I can flip to the next section that just go a little bit through this to the green, where it says program evaluation, just a couple little pieces and we're done. Just as an overview, this is what we spoke about again. It's a five-year cycle, and I'm not going to read it all to you, but we talk about short and long-term and procedures. If you look at the little chart with the arrows, that's kind of really what we were looking at. That first year, people know, like John and Mike and a few others that are a couple years out, you do a needs assessment, which is basically, how are you doing? You got to go look at it. You just can't say, I think we're doing okay. You analyze data, you look at a whole bunch of different areas. Then, if you need to, you may have to write some curriculum. We talked about writing it in music or maybe doing it in art, where you're going to put that together. Because in some cases, you don't want to go out and just buy something, because in some cases, a textbook becomes your curriculum. In other cases, teacher-made and district-made curriculum is a million times better. And that's really good, too. And that takes the place of the textbook. Then once that's done, you implement it, and part of that implementation in that second or third year could be a pilot or a formal implementation. See, it's one of those things you're not sure yet. You have to check it out. Then once you implement it, you're supposed to evaluate it, and then in the fifth year possibly revise it if needed. That's why it's the same type of a cycle. And so with that in there, that kind of gives the background. Then as you flip to the next section for guidelines, it defines. What does it mean for needs assessment? It's reminding them what they need to do. You look at the goals, you gather data, you make recommendations to the council, and then if you need to do some writing, it tells you what the expectation is. And once that's all done and the curriculum, let's say, is written, when they're all done with their review, again, it's supposed to be implemented and evaluated and presented, but a lot of it has to go through the council. So they keep their hands in it because it's a K through 12 implementation. And then the last part is a presentation to the board because the board should adopt it. And if it's done right, you'd want to adopt it. And if it's not done correctly and the plan isn't followed, it should be rejected. And part of it is you're being held accountable as a board to make sure that your books are being reviewed and your programs are being looked at. Any questions about that? The last section, and I don't really want to get into a lot of it, but this is the part that we still need more help and it's not finished yet. And as an example, we call them performance indicators. The one thing in here, we just gathered some data, and first page has to do with high school. It was interesting to look at how many kids are in and out. And if you look at this year, we have 05-06, 131 kids in the graduating class, two dropouts, one, the state calls them non-completers. We call them, they're really retained. So if you start adding up dropouts and non-completers, sometimes in some years it's not real great. When you look at diplomas, you can see the students that get Regents diplomas and those with the advanced Regents, and that's good. And we also have kids with local diplomas. But still right now, about half of our kids almost, 49%, no, about 40% of them, 38 to 40, are still getting local diplomas. If you add in the local and the IEP, it's almost half of the kids still not getting Regents diplomas. And the requirement is everybody has to have a Regents diploma.
And that local diploma, is a question, if a student passes all the Regents exams that they are required to do except one, it's a local diploma, is that correct?
I don't know that offhand.
I believe that's, okay. I believe that's it.
Mm-hmm. But I guess part of it is,
yes,
like, as we get through,
you haven't satisfied the Regents requirements.
They may be doing well on a lot of the Regents requirements.
Yeah.
There may be one specific area that they just can't get, so it's still a local diploma.
Yeah, okay. And is it the state requirement, or I don't know,
They're phasing in regions,
right?
Yeah.
Like by 2010 or whatever.
Two regions, three regions, four regions. Yeah.
Right.
They're phasing that in.
Yeah, 65.
All right.
Yeah, 65.
Yeah, it's been 55, but they've upped it to 65 now.
Yes.
Depending on what class.
Yeah. And I can show you that in a second because we included that in the document. If I can just go to the next page a second. Also, we put in here some indicators about national merit program, national achievement, and other scores that are national types of scores. And you can see the ranges in there. Our students, looking at some of these numbers, are about average. And in some cases, you need better than an average score to get into college. So when you look at the other page, we started looking at, now it's not like a bad thing or picking on people, but if you see a lot of kids not going, you see a decline in the number of students going to college. You see more kids going to the world of work. You see kids getting lower scores on national exams. You start to see a trend. What we need to do is put some stuff in place to prevent it from continuing while we do some things to correct it in the other grade levels. So this is just another indicator. We call it just a performance indicator of how kids are doing besides looking at grades. So with that said, we'll just flip. Then, Frank, the next thing in here is about state ed requirements for diplomas. The local diploma, theoretically, goes away in 2008.
Eight.
And so that's what we're talking about. And we still have about half of our kids getting local diplomas, and it goes away. The entering freshman class of 2008 has to get a Regents diploma, period. End of discussion. So
that's actually the freshman class of 2008.
That's what it says, the entering freshman class.
That's 2012 for a graduate,
yeah,
for a full Regents.
But see, Frank, the state has been given all school districts a heads up. And when you look at our data is not changing fast enough
to keep up with it.
So now that we've noticed that, we need to put some things in place to help the kids in high school. Because remember the scores that said 4th to 8th grade, the kids didn't get better? Those kids that were in 8th grade a couple years ago are in high school. We need to help them so they get the Regents diploma. Because some of them are going to have a tough time with it because we didn't prepare them properly. All right, so with that said, we'll just flip through a couple others in here. We gave you some background information about the College Board and what the scores mean. You can look through that later. There's one other thing we added in this last thing in here for elementary. We did not develop any middle school performance indicators. We haven't had the time to. We didn't develop any elementary performance indicators, but a couple years ago, we put together as an administrative group a proposal for restructuring the elementary schools. Now, this is just a paper proposal. It's never been presented. It's just put in here because it's part of our documents about another way to look at things for performance purposes. That in this scheme, if the district was reorganized in a different configuration, you could pool your resources. It would be more cost effective, we think, in the long term. And if you wanted a bigger discussion about this later on, you would invite back the administrators to talk about it. The board's not approving this. Your board is not approving this notebook. The only thing you're approving later on, like I said before, are the specific documents that had to do with status reports, textbooks, reading, software, and skills. You don't approve the notebook. This is their working copy. But we wanted to put everything in one spot so the board could see some of the things that we're currently dealing with. But if there was any other discussion about this restructuring, it needs to be a formal presentation when the administrators would like to bring that to the board to discuss that.
So is it just configuration like Plattsburgh High has now?
Does Plattsburgh have this? I don't know that. His question
is Plattsburgh has a K through 3 building, I believe, at Bailey Avenue. Oak Street is the 4, 5, 6.
But it's a similar type of thing.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
But that's also
no, they
a city.
Don't have 6.
Yeah. Well, but frankly, a lot of schools are doing to help for resources. That means all the K-1 and 2 people are in one spot. So all the programs and remedial things that need to be done, let's see, that's where you put all your services for, let's say, speech. Right now, you have double of everything. You have to do it in both buildings.
But Monty Street now, the one on the south end, is a K-5 building.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So part of this would be, again, and like I said, it's just something to look at. I'm not going through this. The board read this as you went through it before. And again, any other specific questions or detail could be brought up later on. This is our status report that we wanted to show the board, that these are your instructional programs right now that we identified K through 12. And the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things that are on your agenda that we kind of went over are the ones we're going to ask you to formally adopt because they're the materials. Then that establishes your program. So that's what will be on the next agenda. So part of the intent is, since this was kind of lengthy, that we didn't have to explain this, because you actually adopted all these. You're going to readopt the revisions in most cases. You did them before. But we're all in agreement that this is correct and we're good from now on and we can change it. But if any changes happen, they need to go through the council and then be presented to the board. You can't just say, whoa, I heard somebody's teaching this and I don't know anything about it. Only if it's a pilot, which means it's temporary. But then the council should know about it and the information should be shared. Any other council member have anything else they want to add? And we'll see if board has anything else, and then I guess we're done with this part of the agenda.
You guys are excused.
I just wanted to thank Dr. Sestrato, because I don't think that this booklet would be in front of us if it weren't for him. And to be honest, when we first started, I was quivering in my boots.
No, yeah.
Because I think he thought that I knew a lot of things that I didn't think I knew, but I think that there's been a lot of growth, both on my part individually, and I think as a team of professionals, I think we've really had a lot of dialogue over the past couple of years. So he was the one who spearheaded it all, yeah. And I do want to thank you for that and for bringing us to this point. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming and spending the evening with us and giving us a...
And for all the hard work that went into this over the past 3 years.
And unless you need
to... I look forward to the results.
We can excuse you, but if you'd like to stay and participate in the audience,
for a short 5-minute break.
I think we deserve a 5-minute break. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We discussed in the amongst ourselves, and I brought it back again in public meeting to discuss the proposal that we had talked about. No, this is the search.
Oh.
The search process going with the. We had talked about how we want to do that and. Was a consensus that most people want to go with BOCES. And I put it back up for discussion and to be moved forward. And if that's still the case, then I did get some dates. Mr. King?
So I guess the discussion with BOCES was not done in public session.
Right.
And part of the issue is the last thing the clerk was told is to develop RFPs for interims and develop an RFP for consultants. So if you want that not to be done, then you have to kind of restate what you want to have done because that's what he was told to do. So the other discussion now that we have heard about going through VOCES, you just need to decide and tell him which way to do it because he was taking his time to put together RFPs because that's what we were told to do. And that's what's in the minutes. So if you're changing that by board consensus, then you just need to basically restate that you don't want to do it that way anymore and what you want us to do, and then we'll do that. But right now the minutes tell us we need to do it the other way because that was the majority board direction.
So do you need a motion?
Need a motion.
I don't know if he did it as a formal motion, but that was
no. We didn't do it as a formal motion.
It was a direction
before.
Of what he needed to do, and we're just trying to get clarification.
But if we put it in a motion, then it's a definite direction.
Well, I guess part of it, you don't need a motion to go through BOCES. That he just needs clarification publicly that if you don't want the RFP process anymore, and the consensus of the board is no, then that's okay. You're going to go through BOCES. That's not something you vote on. It's BOCES COSER.
Right.
I mean, we don't vote on any BOCES COSERs. You don't. I mean, just sign up for them. So I guess we're just asking for some direction because you started to state that now the board said something about going through BOCES.
So the reason not to do an RFP is in the interest and time, and it also may lock us into something. Is that why we're shying away from it?
We don't know.
Well, I was asked to check into some of the other the school boards, whether they did it, and what some of the other prices were. So at the other meeting that I came back, I said school boards does not do it anymore, and the average price for an outside agency other than BOCES starts at about 20 to 30 and up from there depending on who you go with. So if we went and we had the discussion that if we went with BOCES service, which was 6 to 8, which is also a COSER and reimbursable under aid, it seemed to be the most economical.
But BOCES does add on expenses onto that. It's not a fixed 6 or 8. It's 6 or 8 plus.
No. It would be anywhere from 6 to 8. And the expenses of the advertising and the mailings and any of the hotels or that are purchased to put up candidates in or provide services for candidates, that type of thing.
Yeah, you're not
that's
paying for Craig King's. You're
that's
not paying
part
for
part
Craig.
That's what I'm saying.
Craig
that's
King doesn't work on a thing. This is part of his job as district superintendent.
Right. There's no salary.
There's no cost. I mean, there's no BOCES COSER. It's free service from BOCES. It's whatever else you want to
spend your money on.
The 6 or 8 is to cover those things.
Yes.
Oh, I did not understand.
Yes.
That's to cover your expenses of the advertising.
The paper that you use, the mailings, the...
All the stuff that's generated.
Stuff like that.
And then you decide where you want it, if you want it in a nationwide or whatever, because the cost goes up. That's why it's 6 to 8. And he'll tell you all those things, Craig.
Yeah, in our first meeting, he'll review the whole process, and we as a board need to decide what options we want to go with. So, and that's the discussion that we had, but we needed to do that again in public session because the last time... In public session, we were talking about other things. So
I need to make sure everybody's okay with that and get it in the minute, so it has to be.
That's so.
If I may.
Yes, you may.
So, out of curiosity, how did Plattsburgh High School fill their position? Was it through a BOCES search,
yes.
Or did they have an independent person?
No, they went through BOCES.
And who gave you the price range for the independent?
I went into BOCES and saw Craig, and he gave me a copy of the independent people, just showed me where they were. So it was a decision, and I can provide that for you if you'd like.
And School Board Association did
they
not
do
provide...
They do not do that anymore.
I heard you say that. They did not have any alternatives such as that list Mr. King had that said, you know, but you might want to contact these people and this is what they charge. Did they provide any alternatives?
They did. Use your local BOCES is what Donna told me when I asked her when I asked her about the question whether they do it and if she had any other information or literature, and she said, you know, the smart thing to do is to go with your BOCES because it is a COSER. And you can also, and it's a lot less expensive. And they're set up to do that. So her recommendation was to go with the BOCES. But there are private companies, I would assume, that actually do that.
And who's this Donna person you referenced?
Donna Clement.
The lady that came up.
The lady that came up. Yes.
And the other thing I think that they said, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the reason NISPA doesn't do it is because they weren't competitive at 20,000 to 30,000. They were born.
Yeah.
So that's why they don't do it anymore. No one wants to pay that money. Because they're going to pay for their salary for that time or whatever, and their costs are really high. So they don't do it because they weren't getting, they couldn't compete with the other, even the private ones.
And their person that was doing it jumped over to the private, because so they just said, you know, we're just not functioning. So they just don't do it anymore.
Okay. Do you want to show hands?
I guess we could go around the table and decide, do you want to just go with the BOCES? And how does the board want to do that? Want to do it with a show of hands or an eye or?
I think BOCES did a good job last time. I think that's the way to go.
Cheapest way to go.
Frank?
That doesn't matter to me either way.
Jane?
No, go with BOCES.
BOCES?
I'll bow to the wisdom of the people that have gone through this before and their expertise and experience, and just wanted to make sure that we weren't missing something.
So we can direct the clerk to add in the minutes that he does not have to put out an RFP on that. Which at this time, I guess we should also discuss the interim person. Does the board feel they want to continue with the process of going through an RFP, or do you want to go with Mr. Dorigo?
A search.
Yes.
I personally would like to go with Mr. Dorigo since he's had experience following his position, and he was with a local school district.
Well, I guess right now I'm just looking to see if you want to do an RFP or pursue that. Okay. So you would like to pursue?
Yes.
Okay, you do. George?
I'm not comfortable just interviewing one person and appointing one person. I think you really should interview more than one person, or at least see if more than one person's interested in the position before we appoint somebody.
Okay. Steve.
And that's no reflection on that person that.
Oh, no.
Interview.
None taken. I understand.
I really don't have a major opinion on it one way. He seems like he's available. It's not going to be for a very long time. Hopefully this is going to go fairly quick. I guess I don't know that. And like George said, best case scenario, we would hope for that. But he seems to know what he's doing. Not that I got to talk to him very much.
Okay. Frank?
I don't know who else is out there. I suppose it wouldn't hurt to advertise and see who steps forward. I mean, it's not a decision we have to make today. He seemed qualified, but I mean, maybe there are more people out there.
I hope we don't lose him.
Well, and that was a point, too.
Well, there is another school that's in the same process.
Locally?
Northeastern.
Yeah, Northeastern. Yes.
So there is competition out there.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And there's one over in Franklin County close to us that's also going through a search.
Wasn't he the only one that was available in the local area?
Right now, he's the only one available in this, in our BOCES area, the Tri-County area.
That's according to Craig King again.
Yes.
So to be certified, there's a certificate process to be an interim superintendent? Is that what you're saying?
You have to be a superintendent, whether it's interim or elected by your board, they have to be certified by the state of New York as a superintendent. Yes, there's a special certificate. What's it titled? What's
School District Administrator, SDA.
SDA, thank you. You have to have an SDA.
You basically have to.
So he's the only one that's available that meets the qualifications.
Right, locally.
That meets the.
Who's available?
Who's available?
That meets the qualifications.
Now there are
willing to be.
Yes. There are two other people, but they no longer do it anymore. One of them is from Peru.
Boyer.
You mean, does he live in Saratoga now or down in
I don't know, but he was the administrator of Peru quite a few years ago. No.
Boyer.
Nope.
Dan Hickey?
Dan Hickey, thank you.
And Momont's the other one that lives in our district.
In Momont, but they're not
they're doing both it. Retired and they've been retired a long time.
And they're not interested in doing it anymore.
And actually, he actually lives in our district more long.
Yes. But he is not. That doesn't mean you can't bring somebody from outside the district. But if you do, you're going to be. You have to pay mileage in most of their instances. And that would be tough. But
on top, how much would they be? Right, to be on
right,
top of that.
On top of that. Is what my understanding is. So we can continue to talk with them. I know people have mentioned about having them come in and talk to other personnel, whether you want to do that or just put out an RFP, continue with that.
And then during that, if you take the job somewhere else or SOL, we'll have to hire someone out here. Mm-hmm. We have no choice.
Are you talking about RFP or advertising?
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a big difference there. I'm sorry. Advertising for it, yes. Thank you. I stand corrected. That's definitely it. My personal feelings are I think Mr. DiRigo is an excellent person. He comes with a lot of background. He's willing to come in and help work through this. He's been at Plattsburgh. He did an excellent job down there. I did talk to several of their board members. I know several of the Saranac board members. So I would vote to go with Mr. DiRigo. How do you want to handle this? You want to do another straw poll or?
Yes.
Yes. Well, we'll start on this side this time. Frank, you want to go with?
I guess, seeing how he's probably the only one in the area, and it's certainly going to be cheaper in the long run. I guess so. I would agree to Mr. Craig.
Jane?
I don't care either way.
Mr. Dooney?
You've got to get him for $200 a day.
I was shooting for 90.
Cheap as we can.
Yeah.
At $90, I'd say yes.
Are you there?
I do anyway.
That's true.
We all do.
We all do. Yes. Yes.
I guess I'm still uneasy because we didn't really interview anyone.
Well, I will continue to find out if there are.
The consensus is to go for it. I'll support the board.
Okay.
I just want to say, yes, it's not a short process, the whole going through the superintendent, because of advertising and how long you have to advertise. And it's going to be many weeks, and then having your on-site visit to wherever this person may be. You may be going to three places all over the state.
Right.
And I'm just saying, interim, because he said he only, October 1st, he hopes to, because he doesn't, it's a problem after 3 months. And I'm just saying
he has to reapply also.
But he also said it'd be a problem for him. And he thought it was already advertised when he spoke to me. He thought it was already out for advertisement.
No.
And I said, not that I don't know.
Permanent position you're speaking of now.
No, he's talking about the superintendent.
His position.
No,
he's talking about
the superintendent. Because he said only to October 1st. He thought it was already started the search process. Because it will be a problem after October 1st.
So, Jane, you're saying he's only available until October?
Middle of October.
15th.
Mm-hmm.
15th. He put it for the 15th on his application for this week.
But he was hoping to be gone by the 1st of October. Yeah.
Yes, that's what he said. The 1st of October he was hoping to be gone.
But he put the 15th in case it needed a little bit longer.
Well, the timelines are, I mean, we just did a search for 5 years ago, and the timelines are pretty.
We started that in April.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of hours.
So we will, through consensus, proceed with Mr. DiRigo. Does the board still want to have him come in and talk to principals?
Definitely.
Probably should meet with Mark, too, I mean.
He's going to have to come in and spend a few days.
Yeah,
just his name.
DiRigo. Okay. You better look it up. So, yes, we need to...
He has two R's, I think, in his name. D-R-R.
Okay. R-R?
Two R's.
But we should bring him in soon enough for Mark to be able to bring him up to speed. That's common. It's a common courtesy to both. The other thing I need to know is... Craig did give me in the case that the board wanted to move on it, and I think we should, it's the ASAP. He did give me three dates that they could actually be available and to get started, because it would be the first meeting to actually start the procedure and put the notice out, which I think is important to do first. That'll be the first step. And he gave me April 30, which is a Monday. May 9th.
What day is that?
It's on a Wednesday.
That's a Wednesday. And May 16th.
Isn't the 16th?
The 9th is a Wednesday, and the 16th is a Wednesday. And the 30th, I believe, is a Monday.
Are you talking evening meetings or day meetings?
Evening meetings, 6 o'clock. They come in, he will come in at our convenience. So he'll come in the evenings. Now, he's already been secured by Northeastern also. But he told me that if we intended to go with BOCES, he would not hold up the process. He would do whatever he had to do to keep both going smoothly.
Since time is
yeah.
If we can make it on April 30th, why don't we go for the earliest date?
I could.
George?
Yeah, I'll call that night. That's okay.
Okay, Frank?
I'll try to make it. I don't know if I can or not.
I can't make it. I have to work that night.
You got
to
work that night?
Yep.
I'm good.
You're good. I'm good.
It's a regular advertised meeting.
Yes. Yes.
I think May 9th might be better then.
How many are for May 9th? We'd have to get a hold of Kathleen and give her these dates soon.
I have a better chance of making it May 9th than I do.
Check with Kathleen and Leonard.
Yes.
If they could make the April 30th one, is that just to get something started or the preliminary?
That's where
stuff,
you sit down and basically come up with the trifold, you come up with the prices and
salary
range.
Range and get that started and talk about where you want to advertise.
What you want to put in the trifold?
Yeah.
How do you want to advertise our school? How do you want to promote it?
We can look at our old trifold and just modify it.
Why don't we go either try for the 30th or the 9th, but get the one where we get the most people here? You know, when you call and check.
If we
can get more people on the 9th,
should be the whole board as much as possible.
I'd like the 30th.
The 30th is only 6 days away.
Yeah.
Yes, I realize that.
So.
And Ron will get
30th
notify
is
us and email us or something when the meeting will be, or will we know Thursday night?
Well, what we can do is does everybody want to just go to the 9th to give us a little more time?
I think it's only got 6. You know, I mean, if we can do 30th, I'd like to. But if we can get 3 more people on the 9th.
I guess then what we'll do is we will put this out to the whole board in a consensus, especially to the other two members, and find out where they sit on this. And what about if we had to go to the 9th, who would be...
That's the second Wednesday?
It's the second Wednesday.
I couldn't make it.
You can't make it?
If more people could be there.
I can't make it. I have a meeting from 6 to 9 that evening.
Hopefully the 30th then.
So could you...
Are Kathleen and Leonard both out of town this week?
Yes.
So you're not going to be able to get a hold of them?
Till...
And you have to advertise it, right?
Yeah, we have to advertise this on...
Well, are we going to have a quorum now as it stands?
We'll have a quorum, yes.
Okay, I'll make sure of that.
For the 30th. We still have a quorum on the 9th.
Yeah.
I mean, if the two others can make it, and Steve and I can.
No, I don't know. Dealing with personnel. I don't think that's considered a meeting. I think that's executive session.
I need to check on that.
The superintendent search?
I would ask legal counsel because we're not in the same opinion about your meetings. I don't agree with Joe's recommendations for public and non-public, so I recommend you ask him. Technically, based on what you're saying, it should be a public advertised meeting. You go into executive session to discuss specifics, but you're not really talking about people. You're just talking about the process. It could be a work session, but I would say I would check with your legal counsel.
Well, maybe it should be public because you're discussing salary ranges. You're not talking people.
Mm-hmm. Every meeting we went into for the last one, we went into an executive session.
That's because we were looking at rec people.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying every meeting that we went
looking
to.
At specific people.
I see no reason why that would have to be executive session.
Either, no, you just tell the public the process.
Yeah, and you're telling them what salary range we're looking at.
Yeah, the first one is not, it would be a...
We're going to do a one-year contract.
And then they would have their...
Advertised.
And we're going to have another meeting where we involve the public and solicit what type of person we're looking for, right?
That's usually part of the process. The board starts, then you have public meetings and with different constituents.
Set up your group. And then we set up all the groups.
He does all that.
Yeah. He does it all for you. And that's what we're going to decide and direct him. And then he will create all that for us. Or the BOCES group.
So it sounds like it should be a public meeting. And are you sure there'll be five people here on Monday?
I can make it definitely
on Monday. I can be here on Monday. Steve said he can be here on Monday. Frank?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I can't. I'm working.
Jane was no. You said...
Depends on how much the phone rings.
And you don't know about Kathleen because she's not going to be back.
And I don't know about Kathleen or Leonard.
Leonard will be back.
Monday seems like a bad thing.
I think I'll be here, but I can't say 100% sure.
Why don't you try for the 30th, but if we don't have a quorum, then we'll have to postpone it.
Okay. Can you notify the clerk whether you can make it?
Yeah, I'll, when I get home, I can look at my schedule.
And I know, George, your schedule is always a tenuous one.
Well, just on that Monday night.
Yes, I know. That's not... fun one. And we will try to get in touch with both Kathleen and Leonard on that.
I don't think she'll be back in the town until Sunday.
Until Sunday?
On Monday, I can make it.
I can make it. Steve said
you
could.
Steve can make it, definitely. We got four. We have to have one more. If anybody else can make it, we'll...
It isn't part of the intent. It's not a voting thing. It's a board discussion, and I don't know who said it, but you should try to have as many board members present as one time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is the whole thing about what you're going to do and who you're going to get the right match and fix, because there's differences of opinion about offering a person a one-year contract versus a three. Yeah. That's when you should have all that discussion, not after you hire the person.
Yeah. But we have three that can't make it on Monday, three that can't make it on Wednesday, so there's no difference.
What about the other week, then, the 16th? So, I mean, it's just, and I agree with what Stan's saying, that's a really important thing, the superintendent search, and that's when you want all your people there. It's not just a minimum, it's not a voting issue.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's a discussion.
Yeah, it's just a discussion.
Yeah, so.
But it is a time issue, too.
Yeah, it is a very important time issue. Just to, this is the time you want to get it out there, waiting for 3 weeks. of the 16th.
I'll switch the on-call. I can do that.
Can you?
I'm pretty sure.
You put yours down now.
I'll have supper for you that night.
That might
Ron, you can put Ron down. You can put George down.
I owe you one. We push him over the edge. So
we have a quorum on Monday.
I still second Stan. Stan was saying we need to get as many people here.
We'll try to get as many people there.
Kathleen and Leonard there.
We'll get in touch with everybody as soon as possible. And if the 30 looks bad, we will notify everybody as soon as we can.
So but you need to know by Thursday in order to get it together to get it the paper.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and assume we're having a meeting.
And we're assuming we're trying to. We're assuming the meeting ends.
What time are we going to schedule it for?
At 6.
Okay. 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Here.
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 We can move it later because Mr. King said, you know, it's at our convenience in the evening. So if you want to go 6:30, 7 o'clock, it doesn't matter. He will come at the time we need to have it.
George, what's better for you? The time make a better thing is it later?
Well, if he's on call, like he's on call.
Well, I'm going to switch off, so.
If you have a better time, just tell. I can go anytime.
So let's shoot for the 30th. And we'll contact those people and see if we can't. Let them know about it as soon as possible. In a way.
You're going to contact them?
I'm going to try to contact those people, whether they have cell phones or email aways, or I will make an effort to try to track them down and notify them. I think I have, I don't know if Kathleen has her cell phone. I thought I had a cell phone number for her one time.
I she has a cell phone. I don't have her number though.
Yeah, I had it one time. I don't know what I did with it, but
there was a listing at one time. I have that at one time.
Do you? Okay, because I know I had a listing at one time. I don't know where it might be now. But
what's in your filing system?
I could be on those anywhere. Any other additional items?
I have Kathleen's cell phone number.
Oh, you do have it.
Maybe you just need
to. I'm not going to say it right now.
No, that's true. I'm sorry.
I'm not that dumb.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's
yeah, George, you do that, and she'll have your headache to you.
My apologies. That's. Late item agenda.
Text. I don't have her cell phone number. No.
Was that all right with everyone to do try the 6? Mm-hmm. I mentioned it, but I didn't know
people wanted to change
it.
No, that's my sister-in-law.
Okay.
That's my sister-in-law.
Oh, before I go to the late item, I want to remind people we do have a meeting on the 26th at 5:30 here in the library for that special election. It should take about 5 minutes. That is
I already told you that. So.
Thursday.
I told you I could make that
right. Right. And Frank said he's good.
I can't make it. I thought I could, but I can't.
I'll make it.
Did you want to say anything about the district newspaper?
I can. As soon as I get my this one down. But just to remind people that because there is another notice going out that we do have that 5 o'clock to vote on the BOCES budget and the...
5:30?
It's a 5:30.
Yeah.
And have we gotten any more letters in from just, people who are running? Just the ones that we have gotten in our packet?
Yes. It actually is just one person that I have received from.
Well, it would go to the school, most likely, well, not to the board president. That's weird because I know Tonya Finnegan was sending one out from Mossable and she was sent it out the other day. So that's why I'm just wondering where hers is, because
anything
I know.
Anything I get before the meeting, I'll bring.
But she doesn't send to the board president, because usually you send them to all the school districts and just ask the clerk.
The one
to.
That I put in your packet is sent to
from,
me.
From Mitch. Yeah.
Right.
Are we still on like a discussion? I just want to ask.
Additional items, yes.
Yeah, I just want to ask a clarification. Just something is, do we have a board policy or whatever, like I'm just saying, is who has the power to grant leave without pay? Like where I work, it is only the head director of who can grant that. Like my boss above me can't do it. And I was just wondering, do we have that sort of thing here at the school or no? Of who can, well, who could approve it?
Right now, contractually, it says that leave start at the lower level, like person asks their immediate supervisor, but then an extended, any leave needs to go to the board.
Okay, but an immediate supervisor could give leave without pay as what's in the contract?
No, they can say it's okay with them, because then it needs to be forwarded to the superintendent, and only the board approves the leave without
well,
pay.
That's what I thought. I just want correct. Clarification, or if there was a policy, or how that was the order of chain of command, or who could give leave without pay. For a reason, because I know that we've had people up to BOCES and we before the board any leave without pay or not approved it. And usually it came before us from like a recommendation, like if it went to a principal, the principal right. would say, yeah, I don't have any problem with this, or gave their recommendations, like whatever
correct.
To you. So I was just wondering how that goes.
I know we have received them in the past, leaves on the board.
Right, but not I'm recently, just, and instead of not getting into something executive session, I'm just a little bit horrified over that somebody could give leave without pay for different things without the board
supposed
approval.
To, and it's not appropriate.
Right. And I have a problem
legal.
With that, so.
I have a question. In
yes.
our packet, we had nothing from State Ed Department for I guess we were cited for certain things in a special ed area.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the board president, have you met with Mark yet to discuss this? I mean, it was recommended to the board president, I believe, in here to sit down with the superintendent to review it.
As per, you're talking about the document that was sent to us?
Yeah, the state ed, you know, it's. This year.
I sat down with Joe. I thought that's who I was supposed to sit down with.
No. You're talking about a different.
You're talking about the other paper that we're all supposed to sit down with about the
I'm
conflict
about
of interest
the
and things like that.
This
is special.
From DiLorenzo there. To comply with requirements for individuals with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it says here, Dear President of Board of Education,
yeah.
on the third page. To you.
To
I encourage you.
You
to review this notice with the school superintendent.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had a chance to.
I haven't had a chance to do that. I yeah. just remembered that. I did work on the one that Joe is going to review at our next meeting.
Yeah, that's entirely different.
Right.
This is
okay.
This is a new
back.
One that just came in the
we're
packet.
All excited
just came
by
in the mail.
Came
this
in the packet.
Packet.
Oh, came in our packet.
I didn't get to look at that fully.
We need to phone you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I will make an appointment with Mark to sit down if that.
Well,
that's
that,
what we're
that
directing.
Document also says that besides discussing with the superintendent, you need to address it with the board, district administrators, and the community, because it's an issue about being identified for having disproportionate identification of racial and ethnic groups in special ed and related services. That's what you're cited for. So that discussion starts a little bit about why that happened, and Micheline could give you some insight. But then you're supposed to have a discussion as a board, involve the administrators who also deal with students and the community, because that's an issue you've been cited for by the state. And the document that I gave you was really detailed from the state that the district must provide a plan of action, and they have specific things you must do in the timeline that it's due. And if not, you will get
be in review, right?
Problematic, because it needs to be submitted electronically to SCD in the summertime.
By August, I think. August 31st.
August.
Yeah.
August 31st.
Yeah. It's in August.
And I don't deny any of that stuff, but it's kind of interesting if you look at statistics, you know,
yeah.
just basing statistics on a sample size of 20 or 40, you know, you really need at least 100 people in a
any statistical valuation to get any type of standard deviation to make it reasonable. And with such a small sample size that we have here,
I mean it's not like we have a 40% black population.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We have such a small sample size that we, a few individuals, one way or the other, you know, affect the standard deviation tremendously.
Right.
You know,
maybe that can be explained, though, when we sit down and start reviewing this. I mean, and maybe a simple explanation to the state ed department may take care of it, too. You know.
Well, it probably falls down to these people always need to justify their job. So if they cite people,
I'm sure they're doing their job. I'm just saying,
no, but I mean,
because
like
we only have 20 or 40 people, it's easy for the
figures to get skewed. When you're looking at your bigger school districts like in Albany or New York or Buffalo,
their
population is so much different than ours.
Systemic failure of the system.
See, this goes back. This is kind of one of those non-funded mandates that everybody in the state's treated the same way. And the smaller your population size,
especially
the harder it is to deal with it.
Yeah.
And remember, any group with the No Child Left Behind, they have groups of 30. Any subgroup of 30 of anything that you, 28 to 30, have a problem with, you're cited. This is different, and you're right. Since we have such a small group of students that fall in that range that are special ed that are identified, it's easy to have one kid off, and you got half of them theoretically not making it. The thing that's problematic that the board has to watch, because you want to be careful with this with the state, because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you have problems with aid. And one of the things you need to look through these documents is that there's a specific self-review monitoring protocol that it says the date it was completing, the team members participating in the self-review, and you are to have them indicate the names of the community representatives from diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds that need to be part of this. This is going to be a big thing that the board's going to have to pull together and get done before the end of the summer. And it's going to take a while to do that. It's not just simple slap a committee together, because there's a lot of detail. It is a special ed issue. It stems from that. Michelin would have more detail. You should probably discuss this relatively soon in a work session about how you're going to do that and what that means. But we gave you the document. It's really, and I hate to say, it's really prescribed. You have to fill in all these stupid charts and answer all the questions. And you need it done by a collaborative group of people.
Also, you've been given a copy of this.
Everybody was given a copy of this, correct. So, and the memo that I sent you on the 16th, no, it wasn't on the 16th. It was given in everybody's packet for whenever.
Yeah, we got it in this past packet.
I guess because the cover letter was addressed to you as superintendent, I didn't focus in so much on Sam's role. So.
Well, I guess when we gave you the information, we included the whole packet. There's Stan's letters in there. There's the letter to me and all the required documentation to show the board that this is a large project for such a little number, which is, but you can't do anything about it.
Right. And I realize that, and I wasn't trying to make an excuse. Yeah. It's interesting that.
Do we have to elect a committee? Is there a
small number can dictate so much work?
And they have to sign off on it. And that's what something that people need to figure out how you're going to do it. And my recommendation to Micheline is you should get it started. And then start really doing it in July, because there's no sense getting me involved, because I won't be here. It's really a board administrator community issue, because the principals also need to be involved with this, because it depends on the grade level the kids were cited. I don't know that, but Micheline does. She has the detail of names.
They need it.
So like, how many board members need to be on the committee?
I didn't read the whole thing. I mean, that's what we gave everybody.
The whole board.
We'll revisit that again.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll revisit that again.
So it's one of those things that just needs to be followed up.
And George, your question or comment about the newsletter. Mm-hmm. I have met with we're already above that already. We're into the
Mr.
computer.
Lambert.
Mr. Lambert and I have now got a tentative outline and schedule. We're looking for a couple other items to go in, and the mailing is, we're hoping to have the mailing ready to go out before election to give people some idea of what's going on in their school. I wanted to ask Tim the other night to see if